Well, I'm going to pick up where I left off last week. The title of last week's message was Holy Ghost Needed. This is going to be part two. But before we look at tonight's lesson, I want to open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the opportunity to look into your word. We thank you for knowing that your Holy Spirit is so, so precious. Your Holy Spirit is so valuable in the times in which we live. And Lord, we looked at a few things last week, looked at some priorities of the Father, of Jesus, of the early church, and of Paul the Apostle regarding this subject. And tonight we want to look at why it's so necessary in the times in which we're living. So, Father, I ask that as you've prepared my heart, Father, that I share and bring forth your word with clarity and understanding. Thank you for the preparation of the hearts of each and every one of my brothers and sisters here tonight, and those who are watching online. And we thank you and we praise you for it, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, last week we looked at how the Holy Spirit and the Holy Ghost was of high priority to God our Father. We looked at how it was a high priority to Jesus. We looked at why it was a high priority to the early church. And we looked at it as why it was a high priority to Paul, who wrote most of the New Testament. And when I finished, I was getting ready to walk out the door. Debbie came up to me and shared something with me. And I want her to share briefly before I start the lesson tonight. So, Debbie, you want to come up?
Hello. So, you had mentioned something about why it was good that Jesus was leaving. Mm-hmm. And the scripture that came to me is in John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. And as I meditated on that, I was like, if we didn't have the Holy Spirit, then we wouldn't have the conviction in the world. There wouldn't be the conviction of righteousness. There wouldn't be the conviction of judgment. And we wouldn't have the Holy Spirit in us. And it was to our advantage, and that's why we need the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen. And the last verse that I read last Wednesday is the verse I want to open with this Wednesday. And it was in Romans chapter 8. Because I said we're going to take a look at why is the Holy Ghost so needed in the times in which we're living? I mean, we're living in uncertain times. We're living in difficult times. We're living in times of deception and lying and all kinds of things, okay, that's taking place in the world today. And in Romans 8, starting in verse 26, it says, I'm going to read out the Amplified, so too the Holy Spirit comes to our aid and bears us up in our weakness. For we do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit Himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. And he who searches the hearts of men knows what is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intent is. Because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints according to and in harmony with God's will. We are assured and know that God, being a partner in their labor, all things work together and are fitting into a plan for good to and for those who love God and are called according to His design and His purpose. That is a very, very powerful verses of Scripture. Because you and I, well, I say you and I, I'm going to speak for myself. There are times that I may not know exactly what to do. I may not know exactly what to pray. But I can pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Spirit will make intercession in a language that the enemy doesn't understand. The enemy doesn't know. And what's great about that, he's not praying my desire. He's not praying your desire. He's praying according to God's will for that situation and that circumstance. That's a great thing to know, that we have the Holy Spirit that comes along to our side and to our aid to do that for us. And I wrote down, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. I mean, how many of you been weak this week or this month? Well, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost that dwells in us can help us in our weakness. And it says, the Holy Spirit searches our hearts, and he who searches our hearts knows the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for God, intercedes for God's people in accordance with the will of God. How can we go wrong when it's according to the will of God? And I just find that so encouraging, because if you watch the media, and I'm weaning myself from watching as much media as I can right now, and I'm praying. I'm doing a lot of praying. I'm doing a lot of interceding, because I want to know God's will. Before I filled out a ballot, I want to know what God's will is. I'm not just going to read reports. Sometimes we just need to get alone, and sometimes we just need to pray in tongues and pray in the Holy Ghost and let God begin to show us, because he will and wants to. Now, so the Holy Spirit helps us as Christians in our weakness and intercedes for us according to God's perfect will. Those are two pretty important things that the Holy Spirit does for us. But now then, depending on what paper you read, depending on what news channel you read, depending on who you listen to, who you don't listen to, let's go to John 16. Because there's something else the Holy Spirit does that's even, well, there's nothing more important in regard to what the Holy Spirit, I started to say, which is more important than what I just read, but no, that's not true, because everything the Holy Spirit does is important. There's not one thing that's more important than the other. So I had to correct myself. Thank you, Lord. And we get into these cliches every so often that really aren't necessary. Do you know that God has many things he wants to say to us, that he wants to reveal to you and I? And you go, me? Yeah. You are special to God the Father, and there's things that he wants to speak to us. And in John 16, starting verse 12, it says, I have still many things to say to you, but you, many things to say to you, but you are not able to bear them or to take them up upon you or to grasp them now. But, here we go. But when he, the Spirit of truth, the truth-giving Spirit comes, he will guide you into all truth. I'm reading out of the Amplified. He will guide you into all the truth, the whole full truth. For he will not speak his own message on his own authority, but he will tell whatever he hears from the Father. He will give the message that has been given to him, and he will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. He will honor and glorify me, because he will take of, receive, draw upon what is mine, and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. Everything that the Father has is mine. That is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, and transmit it to you. Do we need to know the truth of what's going on today? Yes, we do. Because there is a lot of lies that are being said. There's a lot of lies that are being broadcast. But there's a lot of lies about everything. I mean, you can't turn on any media where there's not some form of lie in some aspect. This person said this. Well, 6 months ago they said that. Well, someone's lying. But God does not lie. Neither does the Holy Spirit. But this is what got my attention. He says, He will announce and declare to you the things that are to come that will happen in the future. You know, God knows what's going to happen tomorrow in my life and your life. Do you know that God knows what's going to happen in a week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks? He does. And God wants to show us, but see, we have a tendency sometimes to want, how do I say this, Lord? We want to know certain things that the Holy Spirit knows we're not ready to hear. But God has a particular time and a moment that He wants to share something with us, to reveal something to us about today or maybe 2 days from now or something that's coming in the future. He has that ability to do that. And we have to trust Him. We have to know that the Holy Spirit has a job to do, and He wants to do that in your life and my life. And He wants to do it on a regular basis. And then in verse 15, He says, everything that the Father has is mine. What does everything include? Everything. Every question you have, every question I have. Everything I don't understand, everything you don't understand. God knows all that. And then He goes, that is what I meant when I said that He, the Spirit, will take the things that are mine and will reveal, declare, disclose, transmit it to you. He's going to declare, disclose, and transmit that which you need to know at that particular moment at the right time. And it's going to be according to God's plan and God's purposes. And I've said this many times standing up here before. I always get in trouble when I do not listen to that still small voice and I try to do it on my own leading and on my own guidance. No. Doesn't do that. But it says, let me go to the King James here. In verse 13 it says, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into some truth, half truth, partial truth. He will guide us into all truth. So when we don't know whether something's true or not true, we have the ability to rely upon the Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth pertaining that situation or circumstances. All truth. He has the ability to do that. He will not speak. He doesn't speak of His own. He speaks only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. The Holy Spirit will tell us what is yet to come. This whole world and country is in uproar right now with COVID-19 and the election and all this other stuff. I have a peace. I have a peace about all of it. Because you know who's in control of all of it? God our Father. And if we get still and get quiet, God will direct us exactly what we need to do. He'll show us that which is true, that which is not true. That which is a lie, that which is not a lie. Just like when Pastor Mark had the leading from the Lord to reopen the church. God gave him direction. That's why we have the colored tape on the chairs. That's why you have your temperature taken. That's why you have the hand sanitizer. That's why it was a certain percent. That's all. God was not caught by surprise. So God says, okay, I'll give you directions and I'll give you a leading and I will guide you into what you need to do for the safety of everyone that comes to the Christian Service Center. For those who are visiting to come to the Christian Service Center. Because God knew that the COVID-19 was coming. And he knows when it's going to end. But there's so much mistruth that's being talked about that we need to not believe everything we see on CNN or Fox or whatever else you watch. But it says in verse 15, Pastor Mark did a teaching on all things. Well, here's an all thing. All things that the Father hath are mine. This is Jesus speaking. Therefore said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. The Holy Spirit's going to show us those things that we need to see, that we need to be led in the direction we need to be led in. So, he guides us. The Holy Spirit guides us. He walks along beside us. He comforts us. What else do we know about the Holy Spirit? Go over to, and why is it important? Go over to, we're in John. Go back to John 14. I'm going to start in verse 25. It says, these things I have spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. You know, there's a lot of all things that are related to the Holy Ghost. A lot of all things. But he says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you what? All things. And he shall bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you. Now, the second part of that, bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I've said unto you, we've already seen a testimony of that tonight. Because when Debbie came in, I says, Debbie, I want you to share something tonight. And she goes, oh, I don't remember what it was. She goes, I don't remember where the verse is at. And she went back and sat down at her chair. And guess what? The Holy Ghost brought to remembrance the exact scripture and exactly what he had spoken to her and shared with me at that door last Wednesday night. So he brings to remembrance all things. And as we age, thank God for the Holy Ghost because he needs to bring to remembrance. Because there's things that I walked back in my office today and I knew what I was going back there for and I got about halfway there and I go. So I just stood there because I'd already prepared for the lesson. I just stood there and I said, Holy Spirit, you need to bring to remembrance because I'm not turning around and making this trip again. And about a second later, I remembered exactly what I was supposed to do. Okay? I got what I did, went back to where the patient was, and everything was fine. But Jesus told his disciples, the Holy Spirit whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all that I've said to you. all that I've said to you. So, can the Holy Spirit, as a helper, a teacher, and one who brings to remembrance, can He give you guidance and direction in every aspect of your life? Well, if all things applies to what He's going to teach us, and all things applies to what He's going to bring to your remembrance, I believe He can. I was sharing this with someone a couple weeks ago. I think it was Denise. We were talking about tithing or something. And I said, you know, the world has proven, scientists have proven, that our human brain only has the ability to recall 10%. 10%. And I thought about, I didn't think about that time, I'd thought about it before, and I shared with, I believe I shared it with Denise. I said, thank God He tithed our brain. He only allows us to remember 10% of this world and what we get from this world and what goes into this brain from this world. And I was meditating on that one day, and I said, Lord, that's interesting, only 10%. He goes, yeah, the other 90% is reserved for the spiritual things in the spiritual mind. He goes, I want you to have more spiritual remembrance, more spiritual memory than worldly memory. I thought that was interesting. But in verse 27, he says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So, do we need the Holy Ghost as a helper, as a teacher, as someone to remind us in the time in which we're living? I believe as much, if not more so, because of all the things that are going on. Now, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. Verse 16. It says, know ye not that you are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? Where does the Holy Ghost reside? He dwells within us. The Holy Spirit dwells within us. You know, the Holy Spirit is God's presence in the lives of you and I as believers. We have that living presence of the Holy Ghost dwelling on the inside of us. And the things that we've already looked at, He will guide us into all truth. He will teach us. He will bring to remembrance the things that we need to know. He will show us things to come. He will show us what we need to do. And when we don't know what to need to do, He will allow us to pray in the Holy Ghost and pray in tongues and pray the perfect will directly to the Father. That's a good thing. That's a really good thing. Okay, while we're in 1 Corinthians, go back to chapter 2. Let's see here. I'm going to start in verse 7 here. It says, but we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the world unto our glory, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would have not have crucified the Lord of glory. But it is written, eye hath not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered into the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love Him. Who do He prepare them for? For those He loves. It says, But God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. Didn't we read that in Romans? Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of man save the spirit of man which is in him? Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, thank God, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in the words which man wisdom teacheth, but which the Holy Ghost teacheth, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Why do we have the mind of Christ? Because we have the Spirit of the living God dwelling within us, leading us, guiding us, directing us. I wrote down, God gives his followers the Holy Spirit so that we may know him better. The Holy Spirit is God's Spirit. It knows the thoughts of God and reveals those thoughts to believers. The Holy Spirit opens believers' eyes to the hope of salvation and the inheritance they have in Christ. God knew that we would need the Holy Ghost power to carry out this walk in this world in which we live. Because what we looked at it last week, what did he tell his disciples in Acts chapter 1? Tarry here in Jerusalem until you're empowered with the Holy Ghost. They had to be empowered. They had to tap in. We got outlets down both sides of the wall. I see him there. I don't see any power. I can say, well, that's great. But now, if we got little children, we know there's power in those outlets. They don't see the potential power, and they don't understand the power that's in those outlets. But if you take two pieces of wire or a tester and put it in there, you'll see that there's power in that. So it's no longer potential power, it is the actual power that's in those outlets. When we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we receive that power that God intended for us to have to carry out this walk in life that we need. But until we plug in, we're still operating in our own strength. God doesn't want us operating in our own strength. See, we have access to power, revelation, and wisdom from the Holy Spirit. I believe this is one of Pastor Mark's living verses or whatever. It's in Ephesians chapter 1. It says, I keep asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation, so that you may know him better. I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which he has called you, the riches of his glorious inheritance in his holy people, and his incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is the same as the mighty strength he exerted when he raised Christ from the dead and seated him at his right hand in heavenly places. That's a lot of power. But you know what? when we receive the Holy Spirit and we tap in to that power, I'm just going to read something because I made a note here to look at. Yeah, out of in the Amplified, I'd written it down. It says, verse 17, "For I always pray to God of our Lord, to the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, that he may grant you a spirit of wisdom and revelation, of insight into mysteries and secrets, in the deep and intimate knowledge of him. By having the eyes of your hearts flooded with light, so that you can know and understand the hope to which he has called you, and how rich his glorious inheritance in the saints, his set apart ones. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in us. For us who believe, as demonstrated in the work of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his own right hand in heavenly places." There's power in the Holy Ghost. There's wisdom in the Holy Ghost. There's revelation in the Holy Spirit. And in John 16, I want to go back there. You know, last week I talked about how, you know, the disciples were with Jesus all those period of 3 years. And the last thing he says to them before he departs was, "Tarry until you're endued with power." They had all these teachings. They were with him to ask all these questions, but yet he said, "There's something that you need." And John 16:7, he says, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is expedient for you that I go away. For if I go not away, the Comforter will not come unto you. But if I depart, I will send him unto you. And when he is come, he will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment." Can you imagine what his disciples must have thought when he said, "I've got to go away"? And he tells them that unless he goes away, they're not going to be able to experience the Comforter, the Holy Ghost. And that was crucial. That was a crucial thing in the disciples' lives. And if he hadn't gone away, where would we be? Where would we be without the Holy Spirit? But he knew. He knew that he had to go away, but he wasn't going to leave us helpless. He wasn't going to lead us without guidance. He wasn't going to lead us without direction. He was going to empower us with the Holy Spirit. And he did. Let's go to Jude. I want to look at something in Jude here. What am I doing there? You know which chapter I'm going to in Jude? Yeah. The Holy Spirit would bring your remembrance. There's only one. You know, I've been in the fitness and the rehab industry almost 50 years now. And, you know, we know that as this body ages, it can start to deteriorate. So there's a reason why we want to try to maintain some type of muscle tone and strength and cardio endurance and conditioning, okay? Because we need it. But I love what Jude says here. But beloved, build up your biceps, build up your quads, build up your abs, build up your lats, build up your pecs on your most holy faith. No, that's not what he says. It says, but ye beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And as I said last week, we were exhorted, and I don't know whether it was in middle of one of Pastor Mark's messages or it was one of his Pastor Mark postscripts, one of his many sermons, I didn't remember. But he was encouraging us that we need to be praying more in the Holy Spirit. If we only have two words in our vocabulary, ask the Lord to give us five. If we only have five, ask to give it ten. When I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, I had two. And I was quite happy with them. But I had a wife that was going, Lord, you've got to expand that vocabulary. Because, and he did. And every so often I know when it happened, I was in San Francisco and I'd listened to a tape by Pastor Bill, and he was saying, you know, if you go into a country or whatever and you can't speak the language, speak in the Holy Spirit and pray that you're speaking what they need to hear, and when they answer back, you'll be able to understand what they're saying. So I was in a Chinese laundromat in San Francisco. There was two ladies over there, and they were carrying on the conversation, and I went over and just began praying in the Holy Spirit. And their eyes, they stopped what they're doing, and they answered back, and I heard what they said. They go, no one's ever told us that. So I began to pray in the Holy Ghost more. So I carried on a conversation for about 5 minutes. They were speaking Chinese. I was speaking Holy Ghost. They were speaking back to me. I understand what they were speaking back to me. We carried on a conversation for about 5 minutes. But I just wanted to test it because Pastor Bill said, it works. I said, well, I don't know it works. But it works. And I think when we build, you know, when Pastor Mark was talking about we need to do it more, because when we do that more, we're actually building ourselves up. We're building our faith. We're building our spiritual being up as we pray in the Holy Ghost. Now, was that important? Well, I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians because, like I said, there was a person who wrote a lot of the New Testament, and I want to just read something he said. Go to 1 Corinthians. And where do I have it there? Okay. I believe it's chapter 14. Paul is saying here in verse 15, well, he starts in verse 14, so he's talking about spake with tongues, praying in tongues, he's talking about prophesying. But in verse 15, he says, what is it then? I will pray with the Spirit, I will pray with the understanding also. I will pray, I will sing with the Spirit, I will sing with the understanding also. Then he goes down to verse 18. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than ye all. Did you know he was a southerner? That just hit me when I looked at it. I never. You all. It says, I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. But it was important. It was important for Paul, and he understood the importance of praying in the Holy Ghost. And the other thing, and I'll probably close with this. Does anyone know what a seal is when someone puts a stamp or a seal on something? Well, a seal is basically a legal signature attesting ownership and validating what was sealed. That's what a seal is. Okay? Go over to the book of Ephesians. I think I'm going to read it out of the Amplified. Thank you, Lord. It's already there. In verse 13 of Ephesians, in him you also have heard the word of truth, the glad tidings, gospel of your salvation, and have believed in and adhered to and relied on him, were stamped with the seal of the long promised Holy Spirit. The Spirit is the guarantee of our inheritance, the first fruits, the pledge and foretaste, the down payment on our heritage in anticipation of its full redemption and our acquiring complete possession of it to the praise of His glory. The Holy Spirit. The stamp of God's ownership on your life and my life. He puts that stamp on us. Not only does he put a stamp on us, you know, if you put a deposit or down payment on something, that means you want to purchase it, right? Well, did God put a down payment on your life and my life? And has it been paid for? Yes, it has. Your sins and my sins have been paid for. He sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to pay for our sins, to remove those sins, to wipe that slate clean. But yet He knew, after what He had to do on Calvary, He still knew that He couldn't leave us here. Couldn't leave us here on our own. He had to leave the precious Holy Spirit to guide us into all truth, to direct your steps and to direct my steps. Does the Holy Spirit lead us and allow us to operate in the spiritual gifts that God has given us? Well, I'm just going to read something here. It's not in my notes, but I'm going to be obedient to the Lord. Lord, you told me, where is it now? I'm looking for the passage that He gives us, the Holy Spirit gives us gifts as He sovereignly wills. I know what side of the page it's on. Thank you. In 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. Verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. Then you go down to verse 11, but it says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. The Holy Spirit knows when to give gifts to you and I to operate in situations and circumstances as he severally wills, because he knows what is needed in that. He knows if you need a gift of knowledge. He knows if you need a gift of discernment. He knows if you need a gift of wisdom. But he will sovereignly and severally, as he wills, he'll give us those gifts at that time in the operation of that ministry. And his whole purpose. And the one that really hit me when I was studying to do part two was, for the times in which we're living, it goes hand in hand with what Pastor Mark said about the reason we need to be praying more in the Holy Spirit, is because we need more and more of the Spirit of truth operating in our lives. And we need the Holy Spirit to reveal the truth of everything we come across. Because we're being bombarded with half-truth, lies, deceptions. We need to be more discerning, and we need to test every spirit. And you know who knows how to do that better than you and I? The Holy Spirit. You know, it's... You know, the passage of Scripture, when you hear that, that still small voice, you know, it says, go this way, go that way, go forward, go back. That Holy Spirit is so, so precious. And it's even more precious to me. And the reason I'm really, I think a reason I taught on this subject is because, as I said last week, I was lied to. I was told it's not for today. And I shared with this Pastor Mark. I did last Wednesday's class. I get to work the next morning, and I have an email from a well-known Christian brother with a two-part email saying that the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues wasn't for today. I'm like, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. The next day. And then last night on Times Square Church, Brother David Hamm, he was talking about the Holy Spirit. Sue says, you need to take your pen out and take notes. I said, I don't have any more room on my paper. But he was expounding on the importance of the Holy Spirit in the times in which you're living. Last night, I guess, was the first night they were back in Times Square Church, being able to do a service. But, you know, they've had to be led by the Holy Spirit throughout that whole time. And they're going to, just as we're being led down here, they're going to have to be led by the Holy Spirit because of the state of the city right now. It's a mess. But you know what? God knows. Heavenly Father, we thank you, for your precious, precious, precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for knowing that we've been sealed by that Holy Spirit, Father. And that Holy Spirit, you did not leave us helpless, Father. You did not leave us to survive in this world by ourselves. You departed and went and became seated at the right hand of the Father, but you left your Holy Spirit to lead us, to guide us, and to comfort us. And when we don't know what to pray, and we don't know what to do, we can pray in the Holy Spirit, and we can pray in the Holy Ghost, and the Holy Ghost will make intercession according to your will, according to your plans, according to your purposes, and you, the Holy Spirit, will give us wisdom and direction and order our steps. And we thank you for that, Father, because you are such a loving, loving God. So, Father, as it says in Jude, help us to build ourselves up in our faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. More and more as we see the end times approaching. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.